good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, right? Yeah. Everybody in Charleston, good morning and Happy New Year. Let's shout out Happy New Year to everybody in Charleston. One, two, three. Happy New Year. We're so glad everybody's with us today. And man, 2020 is here. We did have an amazing Christmas at the Fields. I hope you guys had a great Christmas as a family. As a church, though, if you're newer with us, we fed over the blessing and the generosity that happened in December. We fed over 900 kids for 30 days in a row. The generosity enabled us to be able to do that. Awesome. You guys also eliminated all the school debt from a local elementary school. That's incredible. And then, yeah, awesome stuff. And then we got an opportunity to bless a lot of different families right here at home in the congregation, just to let them know their church loves them and that you guys are there to walk alongside of them during some times. And so it's awesome. I love our church. I love pastoring. I love everybody that calls this home. And man, it's great. It's great what we've been able to accomplish, but I can't imagine what God has for 2020. So we're looking forward to that. The best way for us to begin 2020 is to prepare our hearts toward God to dive in. And so I've asked us as a church, let's do something. Let's take a 30-day challenge. Let's take the month of January and have a month of prayer where we're going to open up opportunities to pray in the mornings before you get your day going, before you go to work. So in Charleston, you guys are going to meet upstairs the county market between 6:30 and 7:30 in Mattoon location. The lobby is going to be open 6:30 to 7:30. It really doesn't matter what service you attend, like what location you attend. It might be where you work or where you live, which is an easier convenience. So you can go to either one of these. It's a come and go. So if it's more of a, I can be there for 20 minutes and then go back home and get ready, or if I can, show up at, at 7 and then I'll stay there half an hour and then go to work, or if you're going to be there the entire hour. It's really designed to be a come and go experience where you come and pray. We'll have prayer resources. We'll have a prayer request from you guys. It'll just be laying out so people can pray for your needs that you write on your info card. And then we'll just have different scriptures and different things that you can pray. And so I want to encourage us to find some times where we can be available Monday through Friday. Come in the morning, pop in for a while and pray before you start your day. I just think that's a great way to sense God working in our life in a greater way. You're going to feel closer to God. You're going to sense that you're starting the day off right. And not only are we going to start the day off right, but when you start the day off right, you're starting the year off right. And so I just think it's a very powerful opportunity for us to gather and pray. And so we have these opportunities. All you have to do is come and show up and pray. And I would really encourage you to do that. Find a time, find a day or two during the week to say, or you come every day and say, I can do this for the month of July, or July, for January, July. I'm kind of ahead of myself, but starts with the J, I don't know. But you can pray in July too. That's probably a pretty good month to pray, but we would love for you to pray throughout January to start off the year. So let's talk about the series we're in, The Best Year Ever. The best year ever. I think that we probably say that every year. We wake up in the new year and go, okay, this is going to be better than last year. And I think that that's something inside of us that drives us that way, because we want the best year ever. We want the future to be better than the past. We want to continually get better, continually to improve. And that's why everyone talks about New Year's resolutions. And we're almost at a place where we roll our eyes a little bit and go, yeah, I've done that before. I've got journals in my office that the first 20 pages, they're scribble, 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 scribble. And then the last 90% is just perfect paper. It's never been written on. It's like I journaled for the first 4 or 5 days and then I didn't keep it up. And a lot of our goals are like that. We start off really strong and then we just don't keep it up. And I want to talk about areas of our life that we can say, these are important. This is really important for us to get better and to make life better. And here's what I want you to know. God wants the best year for you. Like, this isn't just us saying, boy, it would be great to have a 2020. God wants the best for you. He's created you to continuously live an incredible life. And so he wants this coming year to be better than last year. And he can help you. And God's word is full of ways to help you. And he wants you to just continue to progress through life. continue to develop, continue to just get better. In fact, we've been talking all last month about Jesus being born as a baby. And then there's this, a couple verses where it talks about his just him growing up a little bit. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people. There's a lot in this little passage. It says Jesus grew. He continued to grow every year in wisdom and mind and maturity. He grew in stature, his physical health, the way he lived, the way he grew up. And then also his relationship with God and his relationships with people. And so for Luke to even know, hey, when Jesus grew up, he got better in these others. He grew up in these areas. He developed in these areas. I think it's important for us to lean in and say, we can develop in these areas as well. And so for you, you may say, what's 2020 look like for you? What are some things that you're like, okay, this will be the best year ever? I have some of those. I want 2020 to be a year where I can do some more healing through the loss of my parents. I want this year to be for me to just continue to grieve the right way and to heal in that area. I also want to just continue to increase overall health. Like, I want to be healthy for my kids. I want to be healthy for Joy. I want to be healthy for me and my future. So I want to work diligently in those areas. We've got our kids that are staggered at junior, freshman, and sixth grade, and eventually it's going to be college. So I need this year to really look down and where are we at financially and planning and our future. And someday I'm gonna retire, and I might be able to retire to a little house at, by the river, in a van by a river. That's I don't know what's gonna look like. But we need to have those conversations. And so Joy and I said, this is the year to be diligent in these areas and figure this out. I want to invest in the boys. I want to invest in my family. I want to invest in me professionally as a pastor, as a leader, and help be a better shepherd to all of you guys and to our team and our staff. And so I have things I want to develop, and I'm assuming you do too. And we have 360 days left in the year to move the needle. And so we can continue to move the needle. And we need to do that because if we go into autopilot, we're going to get to the end of the year and say, oh, I didn't get any of those things accomplished. And the only way you can accomplish these things is you look at your current reality and you look at your desired outcome and you say, what would it take to go from where I am today to where I want to be? And you've got to create a pathway from current reality to desired outcome in any area of your life. And the first thing you have to ask yourself is, where am I and how do I get there? And you have to create a pathway and you have to create a process. You have to, what you really need is to develop some good, healthy habits to get you to where you're wanting to go. Last year, I read a book by James Clear called Atomic Habits, the entire book dedicated to just habits that will help you and how to form really good habits. And I want you to watch this. I found a little clip where he was interviewed by someone and they did a little bit of a story on his book. And I want you to watch this for just a minute.
We live in a very outcome-focused society. Even if you are talented, you can't succeed without having great habits. We think the thing that needs to change is the bank account or the test score or the number on the scale, but actually the thing that needs to change are the habits that precede those outcomes. They are the portion of your life that you can influence. You can be the architect of your habits rather than the victim of them. The things that are on your desk at home, your office at work, they influence your behaviors. If you can restructure your physical environment, then you're more likely to actually stick with the right habit. But the question to ask is, what are those one or two things that tend to pull the rest of my life in line? You can just build that one habit and you know that there's going to be a lot of good side effects because of it. Every action you take is like a vote for the type of person you want to become. Once you've changed that internal story, you're just like, this is who I am now.
I love that. Every action you take is a vote for the person that you want to become. Every daily decision, everything that we set our mind to say, that's the pathway, that's the step I need to take, is a vote into who I'm going to become in the future. So what do you need? What pathway do you need? And today, I want to start with where you and I, if we're going to have the best year ever, we need to have a very solid foundation in our relationship with God. We'll talk about other topics throughout the month that will help us be better in areas of life, relationships, even finances and things like that, and our health and things like that. But today, we shouldn't end today, the first day going to church in 2020, without talking about having a solid foundation in our relationship with God. In fact, Jesus talks about this. These are Jesus's words. Luke records these in Luke chapter 6. And this is Jesus teaching. He says, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" That's a pretty powerful question right there. Why do you call me a leader if you don't let me lead your life? Why do you call me Lord if you don't really allow me to be the Lord of your life and you don't follow me, you don't do what I say? Why do you keep calling me Lord? Why do you call me teacher if you're not going to learn? Why do you call me leader if you're not going to follow the leading that I provide you? And so he's asking that. He's like, why do you keep calling me Lord if you don't do what I say? Then he says this. He says, but I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built. He says this, but anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. He says, those who come and follow me and do what I say and follow my teaching, they're going to build this strong foundation. So when the storms of life come, the house can stay strong. And some of us wonder, like, I wonder why my life is falling apart. I wonder if I look back in 2019, why that area of my life crumbled a little bit. It might be because we didn't build our life on a solid foundation, because storms will come. Bad news will arrive. You're going to have to face some things. You're like, I didn't see that coming. Things will come at us. And if our life is built on a solid foundation, Jesus says, then the house stands. But if the house and the life is not built on a solid foundation of the relationship with Jesus, when the storms of life come, then the erosion happens and everything crumbles. And he says, I'm going to show you how to get there. I love that. He just says, I will show you. I will show you. You see, the world, like, we go looking for answers all over the place. We'll buy books. We'll go to sessions. We'll go to conferences. We're trying to find answers all over the place. And here's Jesus saying, I'll show you. I'll show you. That's just wonderful. Wonderful that Jesus says, I know what you're going through, and I know that your life isn't perfect. I will show you. Let's look at verse 47 again. He goes, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. Listen, he gives us a little pathway right there. He gives us directions. This is like the GPS of God speaking to us. He says, when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and follows that teaching. So let's talk about that today, of what habits we can develop to follow this plan. Because the storms of life will come, and we need to have the solid foundation. So we need to have this plan. And Jesus says, here, I'll show you what it is. So number one is this. Jesus says, come to me. It seems so simple. It seems like, oh yeah, that's rocket science. But he says, it all begins right there. Coming to Jesus. Developing a habit of spending time with God. Not just going to church, not being a Christian, not doing the right thing. Jesus says, no, come to me. Come to me on a regular basis if you want to build that strong foundation. And so for you and I, we have to develop a habit of spending time with him. Let me walk you through how you and I can develop really healthy habits, a step-by-step plan of developing healthy habits that will work with coming close to God and reading your Bible and praying and things like that, but also any other kind of healthy habit you want in your life, whether that's exercising or reading more, writing more, or spending more time with someone. You know, if you're wanting to develop a new healthy habit, let me walk you through a step-by-step plan that will build healthy habits. And it goes like this. We have to make the plan, the habit, obvious. and then we make it attractive, and we make it easy, and we make it satisfying. Let me walk you through this. I want to read my Bible more. Okay, let's say that's our goal. Let's say today's goal is I need to read my Bible. I need a healthy habit of reading my Bible. Well, I need to find a way to create this habit that's obvious. So in my life, I drink coffee every morning. And so an obvious way to take a habit is what they call habit stacking, and you stack your desired habit with a habit that you already have. So an obvious habit of mine is I have a cup of coffee in the morning. So it's obvious. And then to be quite honest, it's something I enjoy doing. It's the chair that I sit in. I got my coffee. I got that little bit of downtown time. It's attractive. And so I take a habit that's already obvious, drinking a cup of coffee, and I attach it and I stack it with something that's attractive. I get to have that cup of coffee that I like, and now I'm going to open up my Bible during that time. The reason that it's easy is because I already in the repetition of drinking a cup of coffee every morning. I already are getting my reps in. So if you stack a desired habit in with a current habit that you're already getting your reps in, then it makes it very easy to just continue that habit. So if I'm going to read my Bible every time I drink a cup of coffee, I'm already drinking a cup of coffee every day. This is an easy partner. And then what's satisfying is when you're done with that, then I can either post it online or I can text someone or I can just check off that, you know, I'm able to work through my reading plan or what I'm wanting to read that day. And there's something satisfying about having that time with God and getting alone with Him. There's a reason that the satisfying part about a cup of coffee is it wakes us up. That's the reward. The reward of the coffee is it wakes us up. There's a little bit of perk. There's a little bit of caffeine. And so we've already built into our system the satisfying part of drinking a cup of coffee because it perks us up. So now we're going to stack the habit of reading our Bible with drinking a cup of coffee. And now not only do we wake ourselves up, but now we start our day in the right direction. And so when we want to develop a new habit, we say, what's an obvious thing that's already happening? What's something that's attractive? It's something I want to do. It's something that is appealing to me. What is easy? I already have the reps. It's already in the routine. It's already a system that I have. And then when I'm done with it, it's satisfying. Did you know that when you brush your teeth, the toothpaste that you have, that's the little minty taste that like makes you feel so clean, that minty taste does not make your teeth clean. It's actually a satisfying reward system to say, don't you want to brush your teeth all the time? The toothpaste company is not putting nasty flavored toothpaste in a tube. You'd never brush your teeth. But if they put something really good for kids, it's like bubble gum or candy or Twix or Milky Way or whatever, you know. And so you brush your teeth and you get this satisfying feeling of, for us, it's minty clean. There's nothing clean about mint. But we've associated mint and clean because we brush our teeth because it's satisfying and there's this reward mechanism. And so our mind says, I can't wait. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to brush my teeth because I want it to feel clean and I want to feel that clean. And that clean is that mint. And so it's the same way of developing habits. And so can I encourage you that we can get close to God and establish a habit of meeting with Him? Because when we meet with Him regularly, and we get our reps in, and it becomes just an easy part of what we do, we will begin to crave God more. King David says this about his journey with God and wanting to crave Him. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with Him? When can I get to meet with Him again? My soul thirsts for God as a deer pants for water. He's like, there's this craving for God. And so you and I need to go from I occasionally read my Bible, I occasionally draw close to God to I crave this. I crave this time. And the only way you can do it is to develop a habit of coming close to Jesus. Get that into your habit. And the second thing he says is Jesus says to listen to my teachings. He says, come to me, listen to my teachings. So you and I have to develop a habit of reading and listening to God's word. listening to a podcast of someone speaking God's word and teaching on that, feeding yourself God's word. We need to listen to his teachings. We need to bring God's word into our life, and we have to develop that process. We have to develop a habit, a daily habit of listening to Jesus's teachings. What's the benefit of that? David writes this in Psalm chapter 1. He says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around the sinners or join in with the mockers." He says, those who don't do these things, but do these things. Listen, he says this, "But those who delight in the law of the Lord," that's the word of God, that's the message of God. "Those who delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it, thinking about it, pondering it day and night." He goes, those who think about the word of the Lord day and night, what are they like? They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. He says, those who really draw in and have this habit of constantly bringing Jesus's, God's teaching into our life, they're going to be like a tree that's planted right by the riverbank where the roots are going down, and there's rich soil and there's water and there's nutrients, and that tree grows and it's alive and there's fruit and it's good and the leaves never wither. And what God is saying is when you draw in and listen to Jesus's teachings, and all of a sudden you will be alive. All of a sudden, you're going to bear fruit in areas of your relationship and work, and you're going to have wisdom to make decisions because you put God's word into your life, and you're like, this is what I need to do with this. This is the attitude I need to have. And all of a sudden, developing this habit of listening to Jesus's teachings, listening to God's word, we're going to be like this tree that is fruitful and alive and healthy. Now, let me get really simple with you guys today, and just really basic is, how do we do this? Number one is you got to have a Bible that you understand. So I'm going to encourage you, get a Bible that you understand. Now on Sundays, the translations we use here is New Living Translation. But there's other translations that are good. I just want you to understand what you're reading. And the second thing you might want to do and consider is download YouVersion. YouVersion is a Bible app, and it's spelled Y-O-U version, all one word. You can Google it. You can find it in your app store. It's free. It's all these different translations. You can have it on every device. There's reading plans. There's scripture. There's videos. There's devotions. YouVersion is an incredible app. If you have kids, they have a kids version called Bible App for Kids, and it's getting the word of God into our kids' lives. But we need to have a Bible that we understand. I would encourage you to also have a digital Bible so you can have it anywhere, everywhere on your device. You need to have a plan to where you're reading. Do not just open your Bible and be like, here, and I'm going to read it. Oh, God spoke to me today because God was leading my finger, and I opened it up and boom, and that's the paragraph I needed to read because the Holy Spirit led to me there. I think you need to know the narrative and the stories and learn Jesus and learn the early church, and eventually then you can get into the Old Testament and learn the background of that. But if you're newer with us and new in your faith, I would encourage you just to open up and read in the New Testament, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and the book of Acts, which is the history of the church and the story of the early church and all the miracles and what God's doing. And so you got to have a plan on where you're going to read, and you read a little bit. And then the question usually is, well, how much do I read? There's no magical, I read a chapter a day, 5 minutes a day, 20 minutes. Read until you have enough. It's kind of like eating. Like, I only need to eat this much until I'm full, and like that's all I can handle right now. It's the same thing with reading your Bible. If right now you need to read three verses and spend the time thinking about those three verses, then read three verses. If you need to read three chapters and spend a ton of time processing that, then read three chapters. Just read enough until you're full, because God wants to give you what you need. It's like food. You're feeding your soul. You're feeding your life. So that means we constantly need to read and think about it. We don't just read once a week. That'd be like eating once a week. We don't just read once a month. That's like starving. And so we need to constantly read, think about it, and process it. And then the last thing Jesus says is not just to listen to the teachings, but then he says, follow it. Follow my teachings. Now that's the hard part, right? The hard part is that the obedience side of doing what it says and developing a habit of actually following, actually being obedient and saying every day when I read, I'm going to walk out these steps that God has for me. But your daily steps toward God, they will define your future. We want the best year ever. It's daily steps, obedience, living the life God has called us to live. James says this, almost gives us a warning here. He says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourselves. Like take that to heart for 2020. If all we do is listen to God's word and come to church and sit here and listen to messages, and we don't do what God's word says, then we're fooling ourselves. That's what he says. We're just kidding ourselves thinking that it's going to get better. And all we're really doing is we're going through the motions. We're like the little hamster on the wheel. We're running, we're going to church, we're doing the church motions. But if we don't begin to apply God's word to our life, then we'll be fooling ourselves. You say you want to have a great 2020, but if you don't begin to apply God's word to your life, you'll actually just have a repeat of 2019. That's what's going to happen, is you'll just live the same life that you just lived because you're doing things the same way. If you want a different 2020, you have to live differently in 2020. You have to do things different. You have to create new habits. You have to do things that are sometimes we have to turn and go the opposite direction because we realize, well, this was not working. This is not the right thing for me. Last week, I took our family to visit a cousin near New York City, and we spent some time in New York City, and we had 3 or 4 days of just incredible weather. It was nice. It was like in the low 40s, but the last day we were there, it was raining all day long. It was cold. It was miserable, and it was our day that we were going to do a lot of walking around, and so that was the day we wanted to go to Brooklyn, and I wanted to get some really good Brooklyn pizza, and so this is our family heading to Brooklyn, and you can tell we're all the in-laws are behind me. We were keeping the pace up, and so we're all under umbrellas. It's cold. It's raining. We were walking. I was kind of the designated GPS guy. I had my phone. I was like, this is the way we have to go. This is where this restaurant is, all that. So we're cold, miserable, hungry, hangry, walking to this pizza place that nobody knows it exists. And I'm like, it's right. It's up here. So we're walking. And then all of a sudden I just stop. I'm like, I don't know about this. And I look at my phone and I'm like, bad news. Bad news. We've been walking the wrong direction for about 4 blocks. All the umbrellas are like, chink, 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 chink. Like, what? Like, we need to go that way. And, you know, and so we all turn and go the exact opposite way. And then we're like 4 blocks later, we're like right where we got off the sofa. I'm like, hey, this is where we started. Now we go this way. But you know what? The reward of turning around was we had some incredible pizza at Brooklyn that was rated some of the best pizza in New York City. And it was because we made the decision to turn around and go a different way. And if I can encourage you guys for anything heading into 2020 is if God is saying it's time to turn around and go the other way, I guarantee, I promise you, the reward is there. He says, let me show you. Let me show you. Come close to me. Listen to my teachings. Do what they say. Turn around if you need to. But I guarantee the reward is worth it. How do we do that? How do we do that? James says, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't just keep going the same direction. He says, make sure you do what God wants you to do. Here, let me give you let's have a simple action plan. Maybe for the month of January, a 30-day action plan. Let's have 3 conversations a day. 3 conversations that would look like this. First conversation would be, we talk to God in prayer. Okay, conversation 1 is I'm going to develop a habit of talking to God in prayer. Make it easy, make it obvious. You know, habit stack it next to something you already do. I always check my phone, Facebook. Well, before I open up my phone and look at Facebook, I'm going to spend time with God. Whatever you do already, make it easiest, obvious, get it done. But we're going to have a conversation talking to God in prayer. The second conversation then is letting God speak to you through his word. Like, let God speak to you through the Bible. So you have a conversation of God, here I am, speak to me and read or listen to it. You know, the nice thing about YouVersion is you can listen to the Bible when you're driving. So you can listen to the audio version of it. It's free. So you could be driving to work and you're letting God's word just speak into your life. And so have a conversation of talking to God, have a conversation of God speaking to you through his word. And the third one is talk to someone else about God and your faith. Begin to process this journey together with someone. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's someone that you're sitting next to here today. Maybe it's someone that you've been in group with in the past. Maybe it's someone you sat next to in Growth Track and you're like, hey, I just met this person a couple weeks ago. And maybe if you've never been to Growth Track, you need to go. And you know, that was my little hint. But talk to someone and process it. I guarantee if you have these three conversations, talking to God, let God talk to you, and then you talk to someone else, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another, so you just talk to someone else. It could be as simple as, hey, did you know I'm reading in John? Where are you reading? Or maybe you have a text conversation with a friend of, hey, I read this today, this was fascinating. Hey, I read this today, this was fascinating. Or maybe, hey, how can I pray with you? I've been really believing God's going to do something in your life. How can I pray for you today? And then all of a sudden, you're talking to someone about your faith journey, and you're bringing someone into it. You know, we just need to just have a strategy and a plan. Three conversations: talk to God, let God talk to you, talk to someone else. It'll change 2020. Come to prayer in January and just say, you know what, I'm going to start talking to God at 6:30 to 7:30 in the morning. I'm going to open up my Bible during that time and read it. I don't care if you come and open up your Bible and pray a little bit and read a little bit. Awesome. That would be great. Couple things. Anytime you're setting a goal, this could be treadmill goal, this could be Bible reading goal, is don't wait until you feel like it. Because you're never going to feel like it. In fact, let me say it this way. You're more likely to act yourself into feeling than feeling yourself into an action. So you just need to get into routine. You got to do it. You got to take action. You got to do it. You got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. And the next thing you know, you feel like you want to read your Bible. The more you talk to God, you talk to God, you talk to God, you wake up one day and go, I can't wait to talk to God. The more you act on it, eventually then you'll feel like doing it. And then you may be going, well, where do I start? I mean, I want to be like a Billy Graham or a Moses or an Abraham or whatever, and you, oh, that's too big. I'll never be that type of a person. Let me say it this way. Don't focus on your finish line. Focus on your start. Don't worry about December 31st, 2020. Worry about January 5th, 2020. Worry about what you need to do today. Focus on the beginning of this journey. Focus on the start. Focus on that. Focus on having those three conversations. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to let God talk to me. I'm going to talk to somebody else about this journey. Focus on that. And one last thing to leave you with is this, is the seed of every habit is a single tiny decision. You want to develop a good, healthy habit? Then the seed of that habit is going to be making tiny little decisions every day toward your goal. You want to develop a good relationship with God? Then every day you're making tiny decisions to spend some time with him, talk to him, on break when you're at work and you don't know how to handle a situation like, Lord, this is beyond me. Just have regular, ongoing conversation with him. Read your Bible more, listen to it on your drive to work or in the morning when you're getting ready. Every habit is built by a series of decisions. And so the seed of every habit are these tiny daily decisions that you can begin to apply into your life. You just got to take action and begin to make these choices and decisions. So the best decision you could make today, if you're newer with us and you're sitting here and you're like, I need a better life, but 2019 was bad and I got to have a better year. And like, you heard it was best year ever and you're like, I need this. Your first thing that you need to do is just have a relationship with God. If you come into the room and you're listening to this online or you're in Charleston Day and you're watching this and you're like, I don't even know God, then that's your first step. Your first step is, God, I need to know you. Ask God to forgive you of your sin and just begin relationship with him. Begin to know him as a friend talks to a friend. That's what they said about Moses. Moses went into the tent of meeting and they described Moses talking to God as a friend talks to a friend. It wasn't this huge theocratic, big Bible-y, you know, speaking Shakespeare thing. No, it was just Moses talking to God as a friend talks to a friend. So just talk to God and know him. And once you get to know him and know that you're a believer and he's adopted you into the kingdom of God, then you work on that foundation of reading your Bible and praying and having those healthy conversations. That will lead to the best year ever. Spiritually, we got to have a strong foundation. You want a great 2020? Let's build a solid spiritual foundation. Let's all stand up together. Let's all stand at all locations. Let's stand. I believe you can do this. I believe you can do this. Close your eyes with me. Close your eyes. Begin to envision that God has the best year for you. And now just begin to ask him, Lord, help me to know you and help me to develop new habits. Help me to live for you and to have the best year ever. And today, I need to give my life to you, Jesus. I need to dedicate my life to you. Let that all soak in what you're thinking about. Now, as pastors, we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray over you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray a blessing on our people for 2020. I pray that this will be the best year ever. I pray that today is a day of salvation for those who've walked through the doors and they don't know you. I pray that today will be the beginning of new habits that will lead from a current reality to a desired outcome to know you in a great way. I pray, God, you heal bodies. I pray, God, that you would restore relationships. I pray, God, that this is the year that we can overcome addictions and bad habits and things that draw us away from you. I pray that today is a day that we set the course of freedom, that we find freedom in you, God. I believe that this is the year, Lord, of great, great salvation and growth. I pray for the prodigal kids to come home. I pray for the prodigals, the sons and the daughters, the neighbors, the coworkers that don't know you, Lord. I pray that this is the year they come home and they know you, Jesus. Lord, we pray that this is the best year ever, but it all begins right here with us and in our heart to know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's make it the best year ever. Let's focus our attention and our words toward him. Let's worship him together as a church. Let's just spend this last time just all dedicated and devoted to our Christ, Jesus.